For those who were here this morning, you have heard of her testimony, which spoke of seeing things through Jesus' point of view. Neville shared his testimony, and suddenly he said to us, it is important that we see things through Jesus' viewpoints. And that word really stayed with me and did help me to say also tonight, as I bring this word to us, that we are to look at this text also and hear what the Lord says about the type of prayers that the Lord himself answers. So we need to see through God's word also how he answers prayers and what type of prayers that he answers. I think if there is anything for us tonight to say is crucial for all of us is how to get our prayers answered by God. And is a life experience for all of us that we wrestle with God to pray, and we want answers from God for our prayers. And tonight we can't just pass this passage that talks about David and his prayers. So we want to see the prayers that God answers. Because if I say this, like what type of prayers that God answers, you may say to me like, prayers that are prayers according to God's will, isn't it? And I will say, yes, correct. But what is God's will? You know, still we don't know as well. You see, so, and you hear a lot of people, like, if that is your will, they pray. And again, they qualify their prayers, if that is your will. I said, don't do it like that. So God knows his will. All that you need to do, don't play God. Be you the person who wants something from the Lord and pray it. Pray it as it is. Because David didn't come and say, if it is your will or not, but he will ask the Lord, shall I do this because this is what I want to do? He wants God to answer his prayers. Well, again, I don't want to leave you in suspense to say like, okay, what is the type of prayers that we are not in a movie, isn't it? Well, what are the types of the prayers that the Lord answers? Well, the first thing I'd like us to look into the man himself. We need to look to the man, David himself. Because actually, who we are determines the answers and the prayers that we are going to get from the Lord. I'm not saying that our prayers are not being answered because we are not like David. No, this is not what I'm saying. But in this text, because we are just studying this text, the Lord answering his prayers because this person is David, isn't it? We see the other person who is a close contrast to this text is Saul, isn't it? Well, if we turn to David and we see why his prayers are being answered, Well, we have seen that David is a man who, with all of his heart, he relies on God. This young man, from his childhood, you see, he knew the Lord God of Israel. He knew him. He had great confidence in him. Will you agree with me? He trusted God. Simple like that. He trusted him. So as a shepherd boy, he would go after his sheep, just like he could be just grabbed by a lion, isn't it? Or a very wild animal. Because I could picture him as a boy, no matter how strong you are still can be devoured by these animals. And the reasons he was not devoured is because he was preserved by God himself. And he knew he was not being spared by his cleverness and his might and his power. Because there was no any reference in all his encounter with his enemies to himself as a mighty man. This explains to us why his prayers were being answered. Even when it seemed to be like a no for a question. Isn't it? So this man, David, is a man who trusted in God, in his God, the Yahweh, the God of Israel. And we have seen this. He demonstrated this when he was coming against Goliath. And not only that, he was referring back to his experiences when he was being rescued from the lion. So he demonstrated to us that he trusted God with all of his heart. Not only that, David also we see is a man who is fleeing for his life, being accused falsely. He was being accused falsely. So this man is running for his life because of the injustice that Saul is exercising against him. Saul is jealous against him and trying to murder him and to kill him. And he is still, we will still read how Saul is not stopping to kill this man. But in his heart, this man, he has no resentment in his heart against Saul himself. He was not taken over by this ordeal, this his flight. He is a man whose life is under danger from this man, running from place to place. Though anointed as king, and he didn't do anything wrong against this man. Will not God answer his praise? Because the Lord says, who can stand? And that is why he says this in Psalms. He will say, who can stand before God? Who can stand? Who can stand before God to pray? In Psalm 24, isn't it? Who can ascend the hills of the Lord? Who may ascend the hills of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. So he was able to say this because he himself, he didn't have any resentment against Saul. He didn't do anything. And not only for himself to justify himself to say he didn't do anything, we have heard also even the priest of God, Ahimelech, declared this to Saul. He said, this man, what did he do against you? He was a faithful servant to you. After all, your son-in-law. And he led the armies to fight the enemies of God. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's heart is to answer our prayers. But he wants us to be prepared really to receive answers from him, because you will be overwhelmed when the Lord answers your prayers. There are types of prayers that if we pray them, if the Lord answers them, you will be in trouble. Isn't it? It's just like, Lord, here, send me, isn't it? And he might end up sending you to North Korea, isn't it? He said, I didn't mean to go to North Korea. But you have prayed that prayer because you meant it when you prayed. You want to serve the Lord. So we sing, who is on the Lord's side? Who will face it for, isn't it? Who will be his army? Other life to bring. And so, or other song we say like, where he send, we go. You see? So King David here is a man we can learn from, that is a man who trusted God with all of his heart. And also he didn't have any resentments. And so you will say, where in the scripture? Well, the first things, when he heard that the Philistines were going to fight against a city of God, Keilah, where there are a lot of God's people. And these people are, the Philistines are going, this is verse 1 of chapter 23. And these Philistines, foreigners, were going to destroy the livelihood of the people of God. The things that they have received from the very hand of God. God who has promised that he will look after his own people and that he will care for them. And this is a fortified city, a city that was for God's people to live, and it's called a stronghold. And it's a city that near Hebron. It's just on the border of Philistines and the land of Judah. On the west of Judah. And I think many scholars have said that made it a vulnerable place for the outsiders to come and attack, to get to infiltrate into the territories of God's people. And it's a place that is full of livelihood and agriculture. It's a beautiful place. And so when King David heard that in his hiding, because he is hiding, he was told to go and live in the forest of Hereth in Judah. And that is back in chapter 22, verse 5. So he was leaving, but he heard that this city in which God's people are living is under attack now. And these people were not his enemies. They didn't go after him. But they were fearing for their life as well, because Saul has a big army. And anyone who will shield this man, David, who is running away for his life, shield. So they will come after him. So he has killed Ahimelech, a high priest. Has killed the people there, children and women, because just simply because David came and stayed with them and took refuge with them. This brutal man. And so David, in his heart, he knew these are God's people. Why he's acting like this? Well, you know, this man's supposed to be the true leader of Israel. He was raised up to lead the people because Saul failed to be the leader for his people. Saul failed dramatically. He's looking after his own needs and his own ego. And now David, though fleeing for his life, if you were here a few weeks ago, maybe that was last sermon when I said he was fruitful even in his troubles. You see, he was running for his life. He didn't fail to do good. He placed his mother and father under in a secure place. That was what he said to the king of Nob. He said, I want to leave my mother and my wife, my mother and my father with you, the king of Moab. And in chapter 22, verse 3. So he did that, even though he was facing these troubles. So now David, he's rising up to be the true leader for his people. Something Saul failed to do. And no wonder why Saul is after him. He's anointed. This man's heart is for God. It's for God's people. He knew the covenant the Lord God has made with his own people. And the Lord God said he will not leave himself without a witness. No wonder why God will not answer his prayers. Because this is not a man who is self-centered. He is not looking to his own interests, his own gain. This man, he is expanding God's glory, God's kingdom, God's people. He's for their welfare. He will risk his life for these ones. But he knew also that he will not be able to do it without God. Here he is running for himself. But even in his godliness also, he didn't ask God to destroy Saul. He didn't pray about that. Just to give us a hint that God cares for his own people. He knew this. He knew that the Lord God sees all that. So we can learn from this that we don't have to fight people. We don't have even to fight for ourselves when we are going through injustice, like King David himself, because the Lord God sees. But let us not fail to do good even when we are going through troubles, as you have heard last week, so that our hearts are prepared to keep going, because King David eventually will rise. You have heard Michael Jensen referring to a sermon he had preached on the 13th of July, maybe 2000. And I was traveling that year. So he mentioned that 2000 and maybe 13. Yeah, I was traveling that time. Yeah, celebrating patience. Because King David knew that the Lord God will not leave him, nor forsake him. And so the outcome is going to be great and wonderful. But he had to humble himself and bear all the burdens for the sake of others. And God was looking into this. That is what he did. When he heard this, that the God's people are going through troubles, he sought the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. Whenever we feel anything, we need to seek the Lord. Let us not even to think of anything first else, anything else. Or a person, even he might be godly or anything. But we are to go to the Lord, directly to him. And actually I had a bit of trouble trying to establish, because other people would not say the fact that he, some scholars wouldn't say that David went straight away to God. Maybe he sought the Lord through a high priest, the man who was there, Abiathar. Well, because the verse 6 here, when you see there is like a redaction, that means, is it in brackets? Maybe it's supplied from the text, maybe from after verse 7, because that was what David said to Abiathar, to bring the effort, because this man, he got the effort, and I will explain it shortly. But it doesn't matter whether he sought the Lord through Abiathar, the high priest, or he himself went direct to the Lord. Both are okay. He could have done it himself, or he could really. But the thing, he is in the forest. And it's likely that Abiathar is in the stronghold. He is in Keilah, in the city with the people. That is my understanding of the text. That Abiathar, this man that we have read of in verse 6, now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, his father was murdered by Saul, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. So my understanding is that this man, he is with the people in Keilah, and is a stronghold, has door, has gates, has walls, is a stronghold. So this man, he fled there and he's staying there. He ran away when his family were destroyed, and he was the only to escape from the priestly family. And he became the priest of God. And you know, the priests, they were not meant to live in isolation. They were with the people all the time. That is where they belong, to lead people in worship and to offer sacrifice for the people of God. And no wonder why King David took it seriously to go and save this city. Because the presence of God is in that place. A high priest is in that place. And this man, what he got? He got ephod. What is ephod? Ephod is a garment that has a breastplate. You see that on the chest of a high priest, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when this man appears with these garments before God in the Holy of Holies, he's presenting the people of God before God, all of them, by their all tribes. He is representing the all people with sacrifices to God. And he himself, the book of Hebrews, will tell us that he will bring also sacrifice for himself, because he is with weakness and with sin as well. No wonder why David took it seriously to go and rescue that city. And then he inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack these Philistines? Verse 2, the Lord answered him, go attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Go. And now, just against the odds, like, this man is running. He has few people, 400 only. He's going to meet thousands and thousands. And now, because he got this confidence that the Lord is speaking to him, that he wants to take this seriously. But the people who are with him, his men say to him, here in Judah, we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? That is so close to their territories. Now we are in the forest, removed a little bit, far from them. Now we are going to that territories to fight. We are fighting for ourselves. It's just like someone, you have nothing and someone is asking you for something, isn't it? The very thing that you don't have, they want to ask you to give them. So this man is saying, where do we get the strength to fight other people? The courage. We are fearful. And this task requires strength and courage and boldness and mighty army to face. You see, this man also, to prove to us that as humans, we can be frightened by other people's voices. Yeah, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Other people can really discourage us as well. Even when we are fully confident that the Lord has encouraged us and has spoken to us and told us what we're supposed to do. Did I turn it off? Okay. Yeah, so you need to be to have this confidence. And David, to confirm to himself that what he heard was from the Lord, and he was confident. But he wanted to go again before the Lord. Once again, David, we are told, verse 4, inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, go down to Keilah. He was told in the first place, go attack, go down. And this time, you see, in the Old Testament, when the Lord seemed to have said something in the first place and said it again, there is always an addition, isn't it? There will always be an addition to that. He said to him in the first place, in verse 2, second part of verse 2, go attack the Philistines and save Keilah. And now that has seemed to be okay, I'm going to do that. But now he was given even more assurance. Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hands. I am going to give you the victory. So this is how God works. He assures him, he confirms this to him. Because God is God who answers the prayers of those people who seek him for good reasons and for the welfare of others. Holding nothing against anyone else, even when they are harshly treated and wrongly treated, and yet they are not out of the woods as yet, but they kept pressing on, seeking God, doing good even in the midst of troubles. And now, so David and his men went to Keilah because they were assured blessings and protection and victory. So they fought the Philistines and carried off their livestock. When the enemy was coming to rob them, to rob the people of God, and to take their livelihood and to carry off their livestock, now these are the people to do the opposite. God is a God who turns things around. It's God of abundance. It's God who turns our mourning into rejoicing. It's God who turns our night into day. It's God who gives us songs in times of troubles. It's God who gives us victories out of blue. When ourselves, we are not able in our own self. When we are not able in our own self to change our circumstances. And I can't just believe it when people would want to change their circumstances by themselves, and especially think that requires supernatural power of God. Well, the calling for us tonight is the Lord answers praise. And all that he wants from us, he wants us to be like David and to have a heart that trusts him 100%. A heart that rejoices in him and glory in him and delights in God alone. And to love him as our creator, our heavenly father. The Lord God who is far glorious and magnificent and wonderful and powerful in love. And mighty, and bring beauty and gladness to the hearts of his people, who give them songs of victories, who give them the uniqueness that no one ever can ever receive, a covenant, entering into a covenant with the living God himself, and to have him touching you all the time and giving you a reason to rejoice and sing. Even when things are so difficult, this man now, he hasn't seen the blessing as yet, David, and yet his heart is with God. So let us be encouraged. Let us bring our praise boldly before God. And that is what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was just encouraging them that if you believe, because he did the same thing, he just cursed the fig tree. And we can go into a lot of details about these things and what it means and so forth. Didn't he know that it was not the time for this tree to bring? But Jesus meant to give us a lesson and to teach us that we should always trust God. That even when we look at our situations and assess it, nothing good. And we cannot transform our circumstances, and even we cannot change our situations. But he is asking us to believe and to trust. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And when you live in that state, being forgiven all the time, because you are forgiving, you can commune with God. Because as we have heard this morning, sin will not give us even this confidence in our God to pray. We will not even pray boldly. We will not even want to pray. But when we acknowledge our sins, he will take us away, will take it away, and then he will give us flood of prayers. He will give us freedom to pray. This is what he told his disciple Jesus. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because Jesus really cursed a fig tree, and the fig tree with it was straight away. And in the morning, his disciples saw that. They saw the fig tree with it from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And this is how Jesus responded to him. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. You see, I will not ever blame anyone if I find someone is standing in front of a mountain, praying to tell the mountain to go and be thrown into river. I wouldn't object to that. But some people would just try to be say like, oh, maybe the mountain is the problem. Yes, it's okay. It could be whatever the obstacle before you. But in general, the principle is like what looks as impossible. That is the principle. What looks like impossible. Just believe that God can change it. And that is what David is doing here. David is just acting really opposite. He's just doing something a modern person will never do. But this is how God wants to work in our midst. This is how he wants to see us. This is what he is delighted in. That is his delight, to see us having this faith. And it doesn't matter when he is going to answer. But the most important thing is, do we have this confidence and faith? Even when he looks like he's not answering and other people will discourage us, let us not turn to these ones. My God will come. But all that I'm required of is to know this God I worship. Is God who loves me, is my Heavenly Father, is my God, and I take I glory in his mercy and his wonderful provision. Well, this man, Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, he was with this effort. And that means that God will not abandon his own people. God will always honor where he is honored. Those who honor him, he will honor. And that is why Abiathar, this man, he came with the effort, which tells us of God's covenant himself he made with his own people. God will not abandon his own people. And this man, he came with this effort in his hand. Even he is not wearing it. Because this time is not a time to offer sacrifices. It's a time to declare God's glory in the midst of the nations who will not acknowledge him. But tonight, as a way of finishing, the praise that God wants the answers are the prayers that comes from our hearts when we are right with Christ, when we fully deal with our own sins, when we fully deal even with anything between us and other people, so that we can have a clearer view of our God. After all, we are not racing with people. You can just decide to go and live in Sydney today and go and finish. Nobody will know where you are if you don't keep communicating with people. And you can still leave, isn't it? So which tells us that the very person that we cannot go away from is God himself. And so we need to put him first. It's Christ who has bore all our sins and redeemed us for himself. And we will answer him only, him alone, not anyone else. And in fact, we need to do this. Even David is giving us a great lesson as a man under great pressure. And yet, he's demonstrating to us that we can honor God even if we are going through hard things, even if we are going through difficult things, even if the whole world is against us. You have heard me saying, like Athanasius, in the early church, he was a bishop in Alexandria, and this controversy came up with pertaining to the Christology, the humanity and divinity of Christ. And so he was told that the whole assembly was against him. He was told that the whole world is against you. And he said, and I am against the whole world. So let us be prepared, even when it seemed to us that the whole world is against us, if we have this confidence in our heart that we are not holding anything against anyone, and that we are not in a race with anyone, and that we are not proving our point of view, but the points of view of Jesus Christ, what he says. And then we can be safe. And then we can pray all sorts of prayers we want to pray. And even if we are not answering these things, seeing these answers the way we may like, because that is what is going to happen in the next verses. He was going to seek the Lord, and the Lord will say to him, no. Just imagine, keep running for your life. What an amazing God, because he knows his plans are better than our plans. And he got the ways to protect us. Let us pray.